Why don't you please keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 1 as we continue looking through the Christmas story. As we've been asking the question this Christmas season of what is all the song and dance about when it comes to Christmas? You remember that 2 weeks ago we had a look at the song that Mary sang as she praised God and gave glory to God for what he was doing. This morning I want to have a look at this song that Zechariah sings. Now we all know that well-known carol, Joy to the World. How does the line go? It goes, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Well, earlier in the service we sang another carol with a very similar lines, a newer carol that was sung. And it goes like this, Joy has dawned upon the world, promised from creation, God's salvation now unfilled or revealed, if you like, hope for every nation. Now perhaps if Zechariah had known that song when he was praising God here in chapter 1 of Luke's gospel, perhaps he would have sung that song. Because really that is what Zechariah is speaking about this morning. He's saying that it is a great joy because of what God has done. It was promised long ago, as the prophets spoke about, that God is coming to save the world. And so Zechariah sings a great song as he reflects on what is about to happen. Zechariah is excited, not just about what's happening in his own life, but he's excited about something way bigger than that. You remember the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. You remember them, an elderly couple who could not have children and at this stage in their life had no children. But God promised to Zechariah in a miraculous event that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth would have a child in their old age. And God promised that this child would lead the way for the coming of God's promised Messiah, the Savior. Now when we had a look at Mary's song, you remember that Mary sang her song when she went to visit Elizabeth. And when Mary visited Elizabeth, Elizabeth was probably around 6 months pregnant. And Mary spent about 3 months with Elizabeth and left either just after John was born or just before John was born, and Zechariah now praises God. But you'll notice that Zechariah's praise, as I've mentioned, is not just about his own life and about the fact that his son has now been born. In fact, there is very little in this song about the fact that him and his wife have now had a child in their old age. And just like Mary, when she sang a song, Zechariah is so confident that what is about to take place has already taken place. You'll notice that he uses the past tense in this passage. He doesn't speak as if something will or might happen. He's speaking as if it has already taken place. And Zechariah understands that once God has started to do something, it is as well as it is complete. And so Zechariah praises God. Zechariah understands that his son is the forerunner to the Messiah. And so you'll notice if you cast your eye down to verse 76 of Luke chapter 1, where that's the first time that he mentions his son. And he says, and you, my child, will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him. That's all that Zechariah says in the song about the birth of his son. Everything else has got much bigger connotations. So I want to have a look at that and unpack it under three different headings this morning as we have a look at this. Firstly, Zechariah praises God. As he says in verse 68 and 69, he says, praise be to the Lord God of Israel. Now remember that when the angel came and promised to Zechariah and Elizabeth that they would have a child, Zechariah doubted this, questioned God, and God punished Zechariah by removing his speech and by removing his hearing. He was deaf and dumb, as we might say. He could not hear, he could not speak. In other words, he could not communicate other than by writing. If someone spoke to him, he couldn't hear them. And he couldn't answer them because he couldn't talk. Now imagine if you had been speechless and deaf for the better part of a year, what would your first words be when you could speak and hear again? Would you give God glory? Or would you shake your fist at God? Would you utter curses to God for bringing this upon you? Would you blame somebody else? How would you react? Well, Zechariah praises God. But he doesn't just praise God because he can talk and because he can hear again. In fact, that doesn't even come into this passage. Zechariah praises God, verse 68, because God has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Zechariah's first words that he speaks are praise to God because God has come into our world. Because God has raised up someone to save us. Now again, let's just pause there for a moment and take this in. God, who lives in heaven, who created this world, who rules this world, Zechariah is saying, has now entered our world. In a way, this could remind us of another event that took place in the history of the Bible. And that is way back at the creation of the world. Remember that after God had created the world, after God had created humankind, we are told that God walked in the garden and communed with Adam and Eve. But of course we know that when Adam and Eve rejected the God and wanted to live in their own way, immediately that walking in the garden came to a halt. And they were separated from God. Millennia later, with the prophecy and the birth of John the Baptist and Zechariah now praising God, Zechariah is saying God has now come back into this world to stand with us. And so at Christmas time, we, like Zechariah, I think we should be praising God because he has entered our world. But Zechariah is not just praising God because he can and because he came into our world. But he is praising God for something so much bigger. Well, let's have a look. Why does Zechariah praise God? Well, secondly, because he has freed us. You'll notice verse 68 again. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. Why? Because he has come and has redeemed his people. That word redeemed really means to be liberated, to be set free, to be paid out of it. So to be set free from a fine that you were owed. And what have we been freed from? Well, that leads Zechariah to praise God. Well, look at verse 71. Zechariah says, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And verse 74, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. Now, I think we need to be careful here because at an initial reading of this passage, it seems that what Zechariah is saying is that God has come into this world to bring total peace in the sense that we will have no enemies and no one will hate us. And while that is partly true, it's not entirely true. Because I think that's a very shallow reading of what is going on here, because there's a lot more going on. You see, as Christians, we are sometimes confronted by people who hate us for no other reason than we are a Christian. We have enemies out there, people who are set to get us for no other reason than we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we stand up for what is right, we get enemies. We are hated by people. And rightly so, because the gospel is confrontational. It forces you to think. It forces you to confront the fact that you and I are sinners. And some people do not like to be told that they have done wrong. So what is Zechariah saying here when he says that God has redeemed us, that he is setting us free from our enemies and from those who hate us? Well, I think if we continue to read the Bible, if we actually continue to read what Zechariah goes on to say in verse 77, we discover partly what he's on about. And so verse 77, where he's speaking about what John will do, he will say that John will give his people the knowledge of salvation. In other words, tell them about salvation. And what is the salvation? Forgiveness from our sin. You see, when Adam and Eve rejected God and disobeyed the instructions of God and tried to live their life without God by listening to the serpent and not to God himself, they became the enemies of God. And God could no longer walk with them in the garden. In the same way, because you and I have rejected God, because we try and push God into our religion box, because we think of God as a giant spoil sport who doesn't allow us to have any fun, because we reject the rules that God has given us and try to do things in our own strength, we are in fact the enemies of God. So what Zechariah is able to sing and dance with joy about, what we are able to sing and dance with joy about at this time of the year at Christmas, is not only that God has entered our world, but that he has entered our world to repair the relationship between us and himself. Zechariah, of course, does not know how this is going to take place, but he knows that it will. You and I, we do know how this took place. And we know that God came into this world and entered our world as a little baby. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ grew up and was trained by his Father and in the words of God as he sat in the temple. But we also know that the Lord Jesus Christ, about 30 years later on, was sentenced to death to hang on a cross, to take the punishment that you and I deserve for being the enemies of God upon himself. And so, with Zechariah praising God with joy because God is coming into our world, because God is going to save us from our sin. In other words, that God is repairing the relationship between you and him, between me and him. Friends, can you see what all the song and dance is about at Christmas and why we make such a fuss of it? It's the fact that while we were enemies of God, he came into our world and died in our place and brought us back into relationship with him. Now, friends, perhaps that's something new to you. Perhaps you've never really thought of Christmas like that before. Perhaps you've always just admired the cute, cuddly little baby, as the Christmas carol, I think, wrongly suggests that no crying he made. I think that's how sometimes we see Jesus, this quiet little baby who did nothing. But no, that's only a quarter of the story. There's a whole lot more that we need to apply to it. Why did Jesus come into our world? Well, it wasn't to be born as a baby. It was to die on the cross. And perhaps that's something new to you. Maybe God is speaking to you this morning and showing you that perhaps for the first time in your life you understand now what Christmas is all about. Perhaps today is the day that the Lord is saying to you, stop rejecting me and follow me. And in one way, that would be the greatest gift that you could ever have this Christmas. Listen to what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God. And just like at Christmas, we often exchange gifts. It's to remind us that God gave us the gift of His Son. So what are we going to do with that gift, friends? We're going to leave it under the Christmas tree and say, wow, what wonderful wrapping paper. Or are we going to unwrap it and see what's inside? Friends, will you accept this gift that God is giving us, that Zechariah can shout and dance about? Will you accept it and make the Lord King of your life? Well, one last comment before we wrap things up this morning. Not only is Zechariah praising God, but he's praising God because he has freed us from our sin. But he's done so, thirdly, so that we might serve him. Look at verse 74 and 5. Zechariah says here that God has come into our world to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, verse 74, so that we, or to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. In many ways, friends, that is what our response should be to the Lord, for what he has done for us. Even in this life, as we interact with people, with our neighbors, with those who do things for us, those who give us gifts, often those are the people that we honor. So someone does something wonderful for us, what do we want to do? We want to reciprocate. We want to thank them for what they've done for us, and so we want to do something for them. We want to, perhaps, as it in the words of Zechariah, we want to serve them. And the same should be true of the Lord Jesus. Paul tells us in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, or while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. Do you notice what Jesus did for us? While we were enemies, while we were still sinners, he gave us his Son. And so while we had nothing to do with God entering our world, he came to restore the relationship between you and him, between myself and him, between all people of this world and him. But we need to accept the gift that he's given us. And so, Zechariah says, therefore serve God in holiness and in righteousness. Perhaps putting that another way, Zechariah could say that we serve God by the way that we live our lives in honor to God. Not just by coming to church once a year at Christmas, not just by reading our Bibles sporadically, but by allowing God to direct and guide every area of our lives. And yes, that will include our work life, our social life, and perhaps even our school life or our private life. It means that we serve God in how we think, in what we say, in what we do. And sometimes that could mean that we serve God even up to the point of death. It means, as Zechariah goes on to say, that we speak about Jesus to those that don't know about him. Zechariah says that John was to go before the Lord to prepare the way for him and to help people to see their need for salvation and the forgiveness of sin. John wasn't going to forgive the people of their sin or even to save them, but he was going to show them this is the way that you need to do in order to be saved. And while we are not John, and while we cannot rule out the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, I think there's a part of us that needs to be like John. That we need to paint the picture for people to come to Christ. See, there's so many Christians out there today, and many of them paint a negative picture of what the Bible is about. They're hypercritical, they just don't portray a great picture of what Jesus has done. And many of them turn people away from Jesus. That's not serving God. We live in a culture that calls itself Christian. But many of these people have never understood what Jesus has done for them. Will you serve the Lord this Christmas and tell people about him? Will you honor him with your life? Will you praise him because he has freed us from our sin? So like Zechariah did, we can praise God because he entered our world, he saved us, or saved those who turned to him, and he opens up the door for us to serve him. This Christmas, if you haven't accepted what Jesus has done for you on the cross, today's the day that you should do that. For who knows, with the road death toll climbing by the hour, you could be one of those fatalities. You could be one of those that they're talking about on the news. So don't delay. Turn to Jesus today. But if you'll have already, then are you praising him, praising God? And are you praising God as you serve him in the way that you live and in how you share with others about him? On your chairs, I've dropped this little leaflet here, Jesus Ripped Up Santa's List. It's a great little article, and you'll notice there the reference to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Speaks about what Jesus has done for us and how he is different to what Santa supposedly does. I've got a pile of these in the front. If you want some more to give to your friends, do feel free to take them. There's probably some more lying on the chairs. Take them. Use them to talk about Jesus as you serve the Lord this Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we do just come before you this morning and thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that we can praise you because of what you have done for us. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to remember that you came into this world and didn't just stay as a baby, but came with the chief purpose of dying in our place for our sin. Lord, help us to turn to you. Help us to serve you in our lives. Amen.